Well, two questions. One question, the situation with Rey Mysterio and Dominic and the Mr. Boring in the Bank, Brock Lesnar.
Have you seen the comments? And everybody's so mad at Brock, but I thought it was a good storyline.
I didn't mind it. I'm just not a big Brock Lesnar fan, as everyone knows.
Yeah, you don't like Brock. But I mean, I like the story.
Yeah, but Dominic has been training.
Yes,
I saw people
has.
On some of the social media sites. They ought to call the police on Brock Lesnar, and that's child abuse. Well, Dominic is 19 years old, guys. Come on. He's not 19, a baby, you know?
And he's been taking bumps. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's been trained. He knows what. When he took that suplex and you saw his arms and everything, you knew he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he landed in between his shoulder blades and put his arms out to absorb the punishment. And that brings up another quick point. Our friends at Devotion Championship Wrestling were on a local TV show, Fox 13, this past week, and they did a segment talking about their show that's going to be taking place on Saturday night that I wish I could go to, but I've come up a little bit ill today, so I can't go. But Zane's going to go, and I'll talk more about that later. But they also did another segment down the road showing how they train so they don't kill each other, showing how they take bumps and how they train to take bumps. Our friend Andrew Sowell, who's been on the podcast with us, was the bad guy in the ring, and then all the other wrestlers were taking clotheslines or bumps from Andrew Sowell. And then the MK Bandit, Matthew Robles, was explaining to Big Buddha, who is now the commissioner of Devotion Championship Wrestling, explaining to him how they train and how they keep from having bumps or getting hurt. Then MK made the point that they do hit each other. It's full-grown men, full-grown women hitting each other. They just know how to absorb it and how to pull it. And then he pulls down his sunglasses he's wearing because last weekend he got poked in the eye and he's got a big old shiner on his eye.
Ooh.
Yeah, so people out there that are thinking that these guys don't get hurt, they never have watched real pro wrestling before.
And I felt bad for Dominic at first having this great big huge guy grab you by the ears, basically. I know what that feels like. Mom's done it a couple of times. But she hasn't thrown me around like that before.
No, you were always a chunky kid, baby.
Yeah, I was always the chunky. She couldn't pick me up, but my dad could, by gosh.
Bad. I know. I know. I saw him do that a few times.
I deserved it.
Uh-huh.
I felt bad for Dominic, but you know what? I love the storyline, and I liked how it was happening. The F5 to Rey Mysterio, and then he's trying to save his son, but it doesn't work, and Dominic gets rolled out on a stretcher, and everybody's pissed off, and they want to jump the rails and get a hold of Brock. Yeah, go right ahead, guys. I want to see this. I'll pop the corn to watch this one. But I loved what I put on the Facebook page. It says, this take your kids to work day didn't work out.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny. But I want to take you back a few years back to when Rey Mysterio was still a young pup. Remember WCW when big old Kevin Nash threw Rey Mysterio into the side of a trailer?
Oh, yeah.
And people
that.
Were calling police and calling for Kevin Nash to be arrested because he picked on poor. It's the same. I mean, we're talking same storylines, borrowing storylines. There's another borrowed storyline right there. Big old bad Kevin Nash with little Rey, and now you got big bad Brock Lesnar with that young boy. You know, child abuse. That wasn't child.
That wasn't child abuse. That was two people that already had choreographed this thing, and Brock probably telling Rey, look, I'm going to pick him up and do this and do it as best I can. And looking at probably Dominic and goes, son, this is going to hurt just a little bit, but you're going to have to learn.
And there's the story. This stuff does hurt.
Yes,
these people do, and that's why I respect what they do, and as few times as they do injure each other legitimately, that's the what I call the art of professional wrestling.
But the one that was really, really helping the whole storyline was Paul Heyman. His reactions.
Oh, it was great.
It was great. It was perfect. The manager begging Brock to stop this, and Brock not listening, and Paul has got a heart, looks like he's got a heart, but I didn't think he had one to begin with. But, yeah, but Paul is, you know, Paul, you're doing really good on Raw, except for that one night. But Raw's been okay. I mean, the starting segment of that, and you do that to Dominic. Yeah, that was started off real well.
Yeah.
That was good. I liked it. I liked it.
Now, we also have, we're recording this on Friday afternoon, so Friday Friday Night SmackDown has not occurred yet onto the Fox network. So we still have a lot going on there with The Rock making his return to SmackDown, where he actually came up with the term SmackDown. I want to play something for everyone real quick, though. The Rock has been doing a lot of things public service-wise. He found out, or maybe the family contacted him, he has a fan, huge fan of The Rock, that turned 100 years old, and The Rock did record a happy birthday song for this 100-year-old fan. We're going to listen to it right now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marie Grover, who turns 100 years old today, and I'm so honored that she's my fan. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Marie. I hear you're a very big fan of mine, which I'm so honored, by the way. Now you can eat cake, you can get drunk, you can have the best time, party hard. I'm sending you so much love. Mwah. Happy birthday, Marie.
Right back, you rock you.
Now, wasn't that cool?
Yes, it was.
That was
awesome.
Cool.
That lady's reaction, I saw this on YouTube, that lady's reaction was just so priceless. And, I mean, I give The Rock credit. This man gives and gives and gives. And the only thing that I can't stand is when somebody uses him on Facebook to say that he's giving away money, cars, and homes.
Yeah. Let the man do what he does. I mean, he's done some nice, you know, and remember he had his stunt double he's worked with for years that was seriously injured, gave him a brand new truck. The Rock near Boston, I think it was, a couple of years ago, ran into somebody's car who was parked on the side of the road. It wasn't severely damaged, but it was damaged. And the man who owned the truck was a fan of The Rock and said, you know, that's okay, no big deal. The Rock showed up the next day with a truck for this man, you know, and he does a lot of public service work. He's got the money. I think he's got a good attitude myself. And I don't know The Rock personally, but I do know this. When I met, I almost called him one of his other names, but it was Ron Simmons a couple of years ago. I got a chance to meet Ron Simmons, and I had him sign a picture of the Nation of Domination with The Rock was in. I just said something to Ron, and I said, boy, you know, The Rock's done really well. He says, yeah. He says, he's a good kid, but I had to teach him how to be The Rock. And that's, he said, we had to work with him a lot to let his personality come through.
He was in Memphis.
Yeah, for a short time. His father sent him to Memphis. Mm-hmm. So he could learn about professional wrestling because Rocky Johnson had been in Memphis for a while. Remember, I was at the match where Rocky Johnson won the Southern Heavyweight title to be the first black man to own that title. Mm-hmm. But he knew that with Jerry Lawler and the Jarretts there, that he would get a good basic education about professional wrestling. So they sent him to Memphis first, and he was there, and then he was Rocky Maivia. When he first came in, and boy, that character didn't go over very well. But
that character ruined him. So.
Yeah, but you know, when he became in the Nation of Domination, became The Rock, and he let his personality come through, that's when he became the star that he is. And then today, the news is that tonight on the show, and I think he's already done it on social media, that Randy Orton is challenging The Rock to a match at the next WrestleMania.
I don't really know. I thought he retired. I thought The Rock retired from wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Didn't he say that he was done?
Yeah. Or maybe they'll have Team Rock against Team Orton.
No, it'll be Rock. The torch will be passed again. But, I mean, how many times can a torch be passed? I mean, I thought it was already.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it'd be a good match for WrestleMania 36?
Star power.
Star power.
Star power. That's all I got to say. Now I gotta give a little story about myself here. Okay, now that this is
go right ahead.
You know, this is being gratuitous Dave show here. We've talked about me having the surgery on my wrist, mm-hmm. and I've got a cast on my wrist. And I was going to be going to the Devotion Championship Wrestling show on Saturday night, where they're encouraging people to dress in Halloween costumes. So uh-huh. what could I do for a costume? I decided that I was going to put on a cowboy hat and a vest, and I was going to go as Cowboy Bob Orton.
That works.
And if that you don't works. Know, that Randy Orton's dad, Cowboy Bob Orton, wrestled for quite a while with a cast on his hand as part of his gimmick.
Yes, he did. He had that thing on for years and years.
Uh-huh.
You figured it would heal by then.
I've got to ask you one quick thing. The NWA getting ready for, I think this Saturday is their first studio wrestling show that was recorded Tuesday night in Atlanta. I think it's going to be available on Fight TV on their thing. And then they had a change in their tag team division. And the winner of the new tag team division in the NWA, the Rock and Roll Express.
I can't believe it. I mean, Ricky Morton, 61, Ricky Morton, 63, Robert Gibson, 61 years old, and it's been over 30, 40 years since they've held those belts, and they've got them back. And if you notice what I put on the on the Facebook page, on the bottom, Ricky Morton says in a little bit of the bubbly. Really? Are you serious? But I am excited for the NWA. I want to see this. I really want to see what they do. They brought back the old studio.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they got the old ring, the studio, everything. I hope it's not the old ring. My gosh, it's no telling what kind of mold is on that. But they brought back the old studio for it, and everybody is around the ring. It's going to be – I cannot wait.
I think it's going to be on the Fight TV app, so I'm going to try to catch that sometime this weekend, too.
But if you don't know anything about the Rock and Roll Express, look them up on YouTube. This is the most decorated tag team in professional wrestling. To me, they are the most decorated.
Well,
I mean, these guys are good.
I like the Fabs better.
Oh, you like the Fabs?
Oh, I was a big fan of the Fabulous Ones.
I saw the Memphis Coliseum, the Rock and Roll Express versus the Fabulous Ones. For the Southern Heavyweight Tag Team titles, I watched that throughout, and I mean, it was perfect. It was a back-and-forth match. It was beautiful in the ring. I loved it, loved it, loved it.
So. Well, Chris, we've had a big discussion about what's going on. I think the most important week in professional wrestling history.
Yes, it was.
And I appreciate all your good comments. Mm-hmm. And are you still working on that promo against Zane?
Oh, I'm working, Mr. Zane. You said that I am Mr. Boring and No Fun North Carolina. Well, sir, we do have fun in North Carolina. It's called a 12-gauge shotgun. It's the fun that we have here.
Oh.
Zane, I loved your promo against me, and I'm working one more up for you, and it was a lot of fun. And I'm hoping that one day all three of us can get on the phone and we can all talk about professional wrestling very soon.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the officers before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, I think we've got Hell in the Cell coming up this weekend. That's going to be an interesting program to see how the WWE, and they have definitely said that they're moving a little bit farther away from the PG-13. Not necessarily TG-14, but they're going to TV-14. They're going to be going, you know, a little bit between the three, you know, the two, that is. And there a little bit more violence, a little bit more storyline, which they attempted to do with what happened on Monday Night Raw. You know, you've got the Maria Kanellis thing where she's pregnant and she says that Mike is not the father. And they have done all kinds of different who's the father angles. And one of them was Rusev. So, but now Maria's saying, no, Rusev is not the dad. And by the way, congratulations to Rusev. He is now a United States citizen. He took the oath last week. He is a U.S. citizen. He's dropped some pounds. He looks awesome in the ring now.
Oh, yeah.
He just looks incredible. And,
you know, kudos to somebody like that because, you know, everybody knows he's married to Lana in real life.
Right.
To watch your wife kiss Bobby Lashley as part of an angle
make
me want to just squirm. I'm sorry, but I would have a hard time with that.
And she's done that. She's done that before. She did it with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And she did it with Aiden English. Aiden English basically said he was having an affair with her, but not Lana. But, yeah, that's a storyline. Somebody said, yeah, we'll still have storylines like that because Paul Heyman, that's all he knows what to do and write.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, give me a break. You know, there's no real original ideas out there anymore. It's the way you present them and make a little twist and turns. I mean, there's we want new stuff. There's not very few new ideas.
Look at what's happening in Hollywood. You know, I went and saw a movie over the weekend with Gerard Butler and Morgan Freeman. Angel Has Fallen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same story that's been told 57,866 times with Harrison Ford somebody's attempted to assassinate the president and he gets framed. They try to pin it on him and now he has to go around and kick everybody's ass until he comes out and finds out that he's innocent, you know.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? It was an entertaining movie. It was good to go see. I mean, I went to a matinee, so I didn't pay full price for it.
That's the best thing, isn't it?
You know, and it's kind of like, but that's the same thing with wrestling, you know. There's not going to be new ideas, you know.
Very few new ideas.
It's not the first time we've seen somebody like Jack Swagger attack somebody in the ring from behind, and you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's
I will be surprised over the next 10 to 15 years of watching professional wrestling if I say, I've never seen them do that before. Because it's just storylines. I mean, they've got to get inspiration. They got to find out what to do. And remember when we talked to the MK Bandit? He said a lot of times they were looking, as a storyline writer himself, that they would look at current events and try to tie in with current events a little bit.
Well, and Billy Corgan talked about doing that with NWA a lot more, you know, trying to tie into a little more controversy and things like that and bring that into the ring a little bit more.
And speaking of the NWA, they have their new Saturday morning program that they record on Tuesday nights in Atlanta. It's not a big arena. It's like, I want to say it's like a Hard Rock, you know, maybe where a concert arena where they set up. And they have Jim Cornette as part of the announced team. And they crowned new tag team champions this past Tuesday night. Did you see who is now their tag team champions?
Was Chris posted that? Was that real?
That was real, my man.
Okay. It's not meant to be offensive towards anybody, but really?
The Rock and Roll Express.
More like the Rock and Old Express. Yeah. Boy, I think I've seen hammered crap that looks better than those guys.
Yeah, I will agree, man. I was shocked. I mean, I've watched a couple of their matches recently. I think, I was watching ROH, and they appeared on ROH against the Briscoes. And I think it was that match I was watching them. And, you know, it wasn't as fast as they used to be, but they were still flying all over the ring, doing the double drop kick that they were famous for. But it was definitely not as crisp as they were back in the heyday. But, I mean, they're probably 60 years old or close to 60. I know I can't do it.
Yeah, good for them. So tell me, let's talk about that for just a sec. because that's been on a lot of people's radar for a long time, and it's also been on people's. I know Trent Hunsaker's talked about it a lot of having the same guys headline that headlined 15 plus years ago. I mean, you know, you still have, you know, Taker, Triple H, you know, guys like that. I mean, we just saw it on Monday Night Raw. Hogan, yeah. Flair were in the ring.
Yeah, Randy Orton's going to be captain, you know. And
so you got guys who are headlining that have been headlining for 20 years.
You know, it all depends on what I don't know how extensive of market research that the WWE does. And I'm talking more advertising now, because everything is done with research. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't know if you know this or not, but when you see a TV commercial, a commercial for television, it has been shown to focus group after focus group after focus group, shot and reshot probably 10 to 15 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that they had people that get paid to sample things like that, and, but I didn't know that it was quite that extensive.
Yeah, they call them focus groups, especially the larger advertisers, not your local advertisers, you know, that have the used car sale and say, come here, we're going to sell you a brand new used car. But the bigger advertisers, they will bring people off the street, basically, and give them some sort of stipend, some sort of little bit of money to watch commercials. And then mm-hmm. they will absolutely score each commercial on likability, whether it, you know, there's all kinds of different things about it. It's something that advertising agencies have been doing for years. And I'm wondering if the WWE has actually started doing that. And because recently they have really been bringing back a lot of the older stars in minor roles, but still roles that take away from some of the newer stars. And maybe it's because they think that that's what people want.
Hmm. So what does Dave want?
I want good wrestling.
Okay, let's say okay. Let's go to our imaginations for a second. Dave, congratulations. You've just been promoted to head booker of the WWE. Or maybe not necessarily WWE, but your own wrestling. You can have a dream match. You know? What? Who would you choose? What would be, you know, what would Dave do? WWDD.
What would Dave do? You know, I would like to see a really good tag team match. I'll tell you right now, I would take the Briscoes against either the Usos or the New Day.
Wait, though. Those are new competitors.
That's who I enjoy right now. That's what I enjoy right now as far as tag team wrestling. Those are three of my favorites.
So you wouldn't pick, you know, an old Southern guy like Jerry Lawler to take on Stone Cold or something, like that?
No, not me. I've seen all those old guys wrestle, and I still enjoy... I mean, Stone Cold can still cut a good promo. And then on Friday Night SmackDown, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be back on SmackDown. That's the program they named it after. He said, I'm going to lay the SmackDown on you. That's where SmackDown came from. But to see them in the ring, it's okay, but it's not anything that I go, oh, I can't wait to see Kevin Nash against... maybe taking on The Rock or Kevin Nash, who I love Kevin Nash, Big Sexy. I still think he can go a little bit, although he has a fake hip and fake knees. But, you know, I still would like, I like the current wrestlers maybe taking homage to the older wrestlers, maybe bringing them in a managerial role for a short time, or maybe taking up for them. You know, kind of like that team concept they're going to do at the boring crown jewel in Saudi Arabia with Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. I'm hoping that will be so much better than that crown royal stuff they've been putting out over the last couple of years. That That's probably the worst pay-per-view I've seen in the last 2 years, both of those.
Remember when Titus tripped and went in the ring?
Yeah. The rumble fumble. Yeah, that was cool. I'd still think Titus can go, but I don't really want to see him as a headliner. He's now working backstage. Can Jerry Jarrett still go? Yeah, Jeff Jarrett, he can still go. He still gets in the ring occasionally, but he's working backstage. Does that mean I wouldn't want to see him coming out and maybe helping out Elias with the guitar shot? Oh, yeah, I would love that. I think that would be really cool to maybe have Jeff come out as a manager now, just like Robert Fuller did for Jeff back in the early days in Mid-South, you know. But I don't particularly want to see Shawn Michaels in the ring again. I mean, that last time he was there, it wasn't that good, man. I know a lot of people liked it, and that's fine. It just, to me, I was going, oh, okay. I'd rather watch somebody else.
You know, I mean, that's another thing, too, that pisses me off to no end is, you know, The Rock's already advertised for the new Fox, SmackDown Live. And I'm like, come on, you know, just for once. Let's not advertise The Rock and have his music hit, and holy crap, the roof would blow off that joint.
Agreed.
They would go bananas.
Agreed, but disagree. Okay, once again, you know, I'm talking in my capacity as being the booker. Okay. I want that pre-publicity that The Rock is going to be there because ratings. But I agree with you when they bring back a wrestler. Let's take All Elite, okay? Let's talk All Elite. Nobody had been talking about Jack Hager showing up. Nobody had been talking about Jon Moxley showing up for this Wednesday night event. They did, and the crowd went bonkers.
Yeah.
It was great, man. Yeah, so I agree with you in that way. So
I read some comments of people that were there, and they said that place was so loud, you couldn't even hear yourself think.
Right. Yeah.
They said the crowd was just absolutely on fire that night.
But for like a current wrestler coming back from injury, you know, like the Usos are coming back in 2 weeks on SmackDown Live. No, I don't like that. You know, I would rather have the Usos come out in the middle of a match and do something, or against maybe the New Day and maybe get a new program started between the two. That, you know, I agree with you there, but to say that not to use that publicity that someone like The Rock is going to get you for your first program on Fox for SmackDown, I can see why they're doing that.
It drives me nuts, though.
Well, okay, let's bring this down a little locally, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, now if you're listening to us for the first time, we are based out of Utah, and there's a fairly new promotion called DCW, Devotion Championship Wrestling. Does a fine job. They're having a program this weekend. Also, UCW Zero in Salt Lake is having their cage matches this weekend, two separate wrestling promotions. But Devotion has gone out and tried to get a little bit of that celebrity presence there from a local celebrity. There's a TV newscaster, but he doesn't do the news. They call him a stunt person. He goes out and does interviews, lighthearted pieces, going to businesses and finding out what this business does a fine job of just a great job. I've been a fan of this man for a long time. His name is Big Buddha. And you know, they went after Big Buddha to be part of DCW to get that little bit of local publicity because they appeared on Fox 13 News. I believe it was this morning on Thursday, talking about their event coming up on Saturday. So you're trying to find that happy medium there about who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. And I agree with you, but there, that little bit of celebrity really does help.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, like, you know, when we went to UCW Zero and saw Rey Mysterio, that was advertised.
That was cool, yeah.
And that was cool, but I'm like, look, Dave, come on, we're talking about the WWE here. Like, if they get an extra 300 or 400 viewers and then sell an extra 150 tickets because, you know, The Rock showed up in Memphis on Friday night, you know, does it really make a difference to Vince's pockets?
In the short term, maybe not. Long term, it might. Because once again, we were talking. Remember when we were talking about counter programming?
Yeah.
I'm going back to my broadcast roots here. Okay. You try to find something that you can do that's a little bit different than what your competitor does. Vince has more money, more access to some of these bigger stars like The Rock. Doesn't necessarily has more money per se than like Tony Khan, but he does have probably better access to these stars that wrestling fans would really like to see, like Stone Cold, like a Ric Flair, like Hulk Hogan, and like The Rock. So he's trying to use that to counter-program this new promotion, this all-elite promotion that's gotten a lot of publicity, a lot of news stories, but they don't have a whole lot of names, you know? MJF was there. He put on, oh, he was so good. Ooh, he was good. But they don't have that access to say they couldn't bring in maybe Jimmy Fallon or something, you know, to make a special appearance. They did have, though, Kevin Smith and what is it, Silent J Bob?
Jay and Silent Bob, yeah.
Yeah, he was there. They were both there. So Kevin Smith, who I got to meet a couple of years ago when he appeared in Logan at our friend Trent Hunsaker's business, he was there. That was probably the biggest star they had there for the opening. He's a big star, but you go to talk to people and you ask them if they know who Kevin Smith is, and you're probably going to find at least 5 out of 10 that will know who Kevin might be, or they might have heard of him. But you're going to be talking to 10 people. You're going to know 9, 8, 9, maybe even 10 out of 10 is going to know who The Rock is.
Well, Dave, this is going to have to be one of those things that we're going to have to agree and disagree. Can we do that and still be friends?
I don't know. I mean, current politics say no, we can't.
I'm going to post it on Facebook and let's see if we can still be friends.
Maybe we should do a poll that maybe we should be friends or not.
Can Dave and Zane still be friends if they disagree?
Yeah. And then, by the way, coming up on this Saturday night, you and I are both going to be going to the Devotion Championship Wrestling Show. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed because I was hoping to get an interview with a pretty big name last time, and he did not want to do it. But I've been told that we might be able to get Brutal Bob Evans, our former ROH star, a trainer, been a big star on the East Coast. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to him, and maybe even Katrina, if we can talk her. She was from Impact Wrestling. She's going to be there Saturday night also.
Wow. How neat. How cool.
And the MK really Bandit's going to be there.
I'm really excited.
Oh, I can't wait to see MK.
Devotion. Boy, that sure, I sure have enjoyed Devotion and them, you know, the stars putting their stuff on social media and their, you know, their little videos that they do. And,
yeah.
And I just think that's funny. Like, I watched one today of the brother Smith trying to search for Tombstone Jesus.
Oh, I love those guys. And you know what? Those guys are so much fun, even in real life. Both of them, Brother Austin and Brother Wes. I can't remember the other dude's name, but they're just so much fun. I mean, I've talked to them a couple of times and just had a blast with them.
Yeah, that's quite a funny storyline with them and worshiping Tombstone Jesus.
Yeah, it is. Now, you remember the last time I was there that you weren't there? That was 2 times ago, I think it was. I actually had the Brother Smith on with me, and they were looking for the Watcher. And the Watcher, who they now claims to be Tombstone Jesus, walked right past us at this time. And I just kind of looked at Tombstone, and he kind of looked at me. We were both smiling, and I started playing in with him. I said, "I think the Watcher's near," and I started playing into what they were cutting this promo, and it was really, really good. It was really fun.
That's awesome. That's so cool. It's going to be a lot of fun, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on right now. You texted me the other day, and you were watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
and you had talked about Shaggy McLovin, that you saw him,
yeah.
I'll tell you, that guy, it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up in somewhere like AEW or NXT or something, because that kid is really, really good.
And professional Peter Avalon.
Saw him in Salt Lake.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he came to the very first the DCW that I went to, and he had a manager with him named Zane Z. Goody.
Cool.
And they were good.
Yeah,
it was. He's really good. He's very, very high flying and acrobatic. Yeah, and all that stuff.
He's got a good gimmick with that skateboard too.
Yeah,
that's a very good gimmick. I love it. I really love that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. What's going on? Fight TV is a great app, by the way. I love Fight TV. I don't watch it near as much as I really should, but every time I go on there, I say, "Oh, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that." They have some pay-per-view stuff that you can get on there. They also have stuff that's absolutely free. Several different promotions. I actually made a comment that they sent me a thank you to. That I loved the different types of promotions they had available on there. So Fight TV app is a lot of fun to watch. You can watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Championship Wrestling from Arizona. And by the way, our friend Manny Lemons, and Rika, who's also from Devotion, they're both on that AZ-150 show. And that's where they set up this Saturday night's match coming up with Katrina from Impact Wrestling. They did that in the AZ-150 that is also available right now on the Fight TV app.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, somebody like Manny, I'd love to ask him the question, but it's such a hard question to ask somebody like that, where Manny is the owner / promoter / wrestling, owner, player, coach, Jackie Moon. That's Manny of Devotion Championship Wrestling. I mean, Manny started it.
Right.
I've always wanted to ask the question, but I've always been scared to say, if somebody like Impact or ROH or something came tomorrow and said, "Hey, we want to sign you. We're going to give you, what, 150, 200,000 a year to come and do a TV taping a couple times a week, fly out to LA or wherever they, Vegas or something, somewhere like that. But what would happen to Devotion? Would he just quit?
I don't know. I know he's been down to Las Vegas a couple of times, and the weekend that you were in Alaska and I was at the Fan X, Manny was down because they were doing tryouts and tapings of Impact down in Las Vegas. I don't know if he was trying out or if he was just with people who were trying out, but I actually sent him a message in Las Vegas because I wanted him to be able to talk to Vicky Guerrero, who was at the Fan X, but she was an unannounced guest. So I made sure that those two got together. So I don't know if Manny got a chance to move up to All Elite, Impact, or ROH, what he would do. It depends where his heart is and whether he wants to make the Salt Lake area a bigger market for professional wrestling. Because I think he's doing it the right way right now to get more and more people interested in pro wrestling.
Well, and he's doing a really good job too with, like you said, using the local celebrity type of thing, and they've done some some commercials, TV commercials with local car dealerships and things like that to real, like you said, really get the local crowd sparked. And every, I don't know, maybe it wasn't the, but I believe if it hasn't sold out every event, then it's been dang near.
Yeah, it's been pretty close.
I mean, I know the one that I went to, I think the one that you and I went to together sold out, and it sold out fast. I mean, when by the time they opened that gate, it was sold out.
Well, I thought we would talk about this important week in professional wrestling history. I've been saying for a couple of weeks that this is possibly the most important week in professional wrestling. And then on Monday, I look at the Bleacher Report, and there's somebody that says, this is quite possibly the most important weekend in our week in professional wrestling history. So I said, hey, maybe they listened to me. No, I'm sure they did. I bet, you know, that was something I've been saying for a couple of weeks, because when you're talking the amount of money, the amount of entertainment money that's out there, this is a great time to be a professional wrestler or a professional wrestling fan.
Hey, did you steal my line?
Which line?
That's what I always say.
Oh, yeah, I stole it, because I'm a plagiarizer, my man. I am a plagiarizer. Whoa. That's my ring name, Dave the Plagiarizer Denton.
Ooh. kind of like the librarian.
The librarian.
Peter Avalon.
Yeah. Well, you ready for some more wrestling and more podcast over the next couple of weeks?
Hi. Is that even... Do you even have to ask that question?
Well, I just did.
I'm ready, Dave.
Well, I'm ready, so.
I'm ready. You know, Dave, it's just a great time to be a wrestling fan right now.
I think I've heard that someplace. We have too much fun doing this.
We're just idiots. It's
yes,
like,
we are.
I almost feel bad for the 12 people that listen to us every month. Oh my hell, these guys again.
But hey, we're growing so,
and we have fun. That's the most important part, you know. And I love listening to Chris rant and rave and throw a temper tantrum over nothing, and I love the knowledge that Dr. Dave brings to the table. And it's just a good time.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I've had people mention to us, and I will say this, our friend Jason Williams on KVNU that has had me on his show a few times, he says he thought the best part of the show was it was entertaining, not just informative, and you could listen to it and enjoy the podcast even if you're not a professional wrestling fan. And my cousin in Las Vegas has even said that exact same thing to me.
No, that's what I've told people a lot too. I said, you know, Dave brings so much more to the table with your professional wrestling, I mean, your professional radio background. You know, I said, this is almost, I mean, it's like listening to, I mean, I've never, honestly, Dave, I've never listened to another, I've listened to several wrestling podcasts, political podcasts, things like that. And they don't put the drops in like you have put in, and they don't put in the funny music, and the they don't take the time to edit things. I mean, it's just like two guys talking in a monotone voice and swearing about professional wrestling. It's like, wow.
I can't stand that. I've listened to some of those, and as soon as they start swearing. I've used that language. I still use that language more than I really want to, but sometimes you just say, you can have a conversation without cussing, you know, there's no problem without. And I got in trouble on the Real Wrestling Facebook page because of that. Several people got upset with me. So I didn't care.
Well, Dave, you're awesome, dude. Thanks for everything. And it's been a great time tonight. And when you talk to Chris, tell him to lighten up. Comedy is okay.
Okay, will do.
You tell him that. You tell him.
I'll tell him. I'll laugh the whole time.
I said it.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that? A flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I love
like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo! WWDD.
What would Dave do?
A lot of butt fumbles.
Dave, other news. Big time news.
Big time news?
Big time news.
It was supposed to be like Ravishing Rick Rude, but I can't remember the rest of it, so I'm going to have to leave it out.
Dang.
Dang.
Yeah, because it was stupid.
It was stupid.
A hot dog hit him in the head.
Why?
I don't know.
Dave, other news. Big time news.
Big time news?
Big time news. Yeah. You know, it kind of reminds me of being, like, six on the playground. You know, being like, AEW rules, WWE drools.
Performance anxiety.
It's got to be something.
Yeah, it might be a little blue pill will help you out. Oh, I didn't.
There you go.
I didn't say that.
A little bit of, maybe a little bit of the bubbly.
Yeah, it's not meant to be offensive towards anybody, but really, hellfire, brimstone, and everything else unholy.
Crown jewel. It's going to be a diamond stuck up a cow pie.
I've never seen them do that before.
I think I've seen hammered crap that looks better than those guys.
I got a question for you. What does NXT, AEW, and rigor mortis have in common?
I hesitate to ask. So what does AEW, NXT have in common?
One thing in common, they're stiff within 2 hours.
And that was really tight showing off my manly bulges.